From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. There have been scattered reports of a few pictures of Juno black bears recently popping up on social media, but so far there have not been many conflicts related to the bears' food sources. Roy Churchwell, area biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says that's because bears coming out of hibernation in this spring's wet weather have been munching on the grasses, sedges, and dandelions. Soon they'll shift to salmon berries and blueberries. Churchwell actually expects bear sightings to increase in the next few weeks as yearlings or one-year-old bears get kicked out of the den by mom.
Basically, if you see a bear that's kind of about the size of a German Shepherd, that's probably a yearling bear. It's supposed to be on there on its own. They do tend to be more curious, and we do get more calls about those bears compared to when they're with mom and she's kind of taking care of them.
CBJ's garbage ordinance specifies that garbage should be kept in a secure location until 4 a.m. on pickup day.
Basically, folks can't have their garbage out before the morning of garbage pickup. You should be keeping your garbage inside a locked garage or some fairly secured method so that bears can't get into it.
Already this season, Churchwell says they believe they spotted what they are calling the car bear because of its behavior last year.
It learned how to get into cars and was getting food that way and was very good at opening car door handles. And a lot of folks would come out in the morning and all the cars along the sidewalk would all have their doors open as the bear had gone through and checked them all out.
Some vehicles were even damaged by the bear. Churchwell says they recently put out a bear trap in the Mountainside Estates area, but Car Bear already seems to have moved on. In other news, Alaska's tourism businesses were girding for another tough summer until the successful rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine. Now in Southeast Alaska, some businesses are seeing a record rebound in bookings, but as Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports, the rising tourism tide isn't lifting all boats.
About 30 miles from Juneau, I've just touched down in a remote bay in the Tongass National Forest. I'm here on a tour. But first, I have to get off the tiny float plane onto the shore.
I mean, I could also just take my boots off.
Yeah, why don't you hop on my back? You ready?
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
There we go. All right.
Woo!
Thanks, man.
Guidecraft,
can I give you this?
Yeah.
I've flown to this isolated spot on Admiralty Island with two guides and a visiting couple from Idaho. We're here to look at bears, but the couple bears that are around are a little nervous, so we have to find a place to set up shop and hope they'll get a little closer. While we wait, one of the guides, Dan Kirkwood, sets up a spotting scope for one of their guests, Cindy Clark.
Here, Cindy, come check this out.
That's my very first time seeing
bears. Clark and her husband, Greg, are what tourism businesses call independent travelers, as distinct from those who come on a cruise ship. In a normal year in Southeast Alaska, 90% of the region's million or more tourists come on those cruise ships. But the industry gets a little more bang for its buck from independents like the Clarks, who typically spend more money onshore. Unlike cruise passengers, the Clarks are in Alaska for almost 3 weeks, staying in Airbnbs and cooking for themselves, and budgeted as much as $10,000 for their trip. Here's Greg.
I don't like big crowds. I don't want to be a tourist. I don't like the idea of doing the same thing everybody else does. I like unique vacations.
The Clarks actually had their bear tour booked last year, but had to cancel because of the pandemic. Now they're both vaccinated and had no reservations about going on their trip. And they're far from the only ones who have been finding ways to explore Southeast Alaska this summer, even with federal limitations that are keeping the large cruise ships away until next month.
For private and small group experiences, lodge-based trips, yachts and small ship cruises, I would say demand has never been higher.
Greg Schlachter is a longtime guide based in the southeast town of Haines, who also runs an adventure travel agency called Expedition Broker.
I talk to the lodge owners I work with or the vessel owners I work with. Like, they're they're barely able to kind of get their season going because there's so many inquiries coming in.
Schlachter says he's convinced a couple of captains to buy expensive yachts for this summer just because of the renewed demand. He says there are two big things driving it. One is that many people who canceled trips last year rolled them over to this summer, adding to those who are excited to book new post-pandemic adventures. A second is that overseas destinations are still harder to get to, and Alaska is about the most exotic substitute. Add in the lack of cruise ships, and you get a big group of people looking for smaller scale adventures. But about that lack of cruise ships.
I just finished up May, and May was running at about 7% of a normal year. Revenue-wise.
Laura Martinson sells art from dozens of Alaska artists at her Caribou Crossings shop just across from where the cruise ships dock in downtown Juneau. She says this year, with the rush of independent travelers, things are definitely better than last summer when she only saw 1% of her normal revenue. But even if there are more independent travelers, their numbers are still far, far smaller than the hundreds of thousands who arrive by cruise ship. And when those ships begin arriving in July, they'll still be far less frequent and likely less full, Martinson says.
It's great to see the faces. It's great to see the traffic. But we are a volume-based economy down here because we're so seasonal. And so I'm grateful for every single person that walks in the door. But we certainly are not feeling like, great, it's back, we're rebounding.
Many other cruise-linked businesses say they're facing similarly grim outlooks for this summer. Even if they say they're grateful for the work Alaska's elected leaders did to lift limitations that had blocked any big ships from coming at all. But back out on the Bear Tour, as we quietly wait behind a log, Kirkwood, the guide, says his smaller-scale business, Alaska Seaplane Adventures, is in good shape for this summer.
I mean, I hesitate to say this, but we're on track to have our busiest year ever.
Kirkwood's business is trying to broaden its options for independent travelers. They market glacier viewing, whale watching, and customized remote cabin trips in addition to bear viewing. While some Southeast residents have started to push back against the huge numbers of cruise passengers that arrive each summer, Kirkwood says there's room for smaller scale businesses to grow without jeopardizing the experiences they're selling.
We're at a special spot. No, I wouldn't want to see us triple the volume of people here, but we could develop other bear viewing areas that would create new companies in rural communities. Those are the decisions we can make if we want it.
As Kirkwood and I chat, a grizzly bear pops out of the brush and strolls by about 30 feet away, Noshing on sedge grass with a backdrop of waterfalls and snow-covered mountain slopes. We've only got another hour in this spot, but Kirkwood will be back here in a day or two with guests for another tour. In Juneau, I'm Nat Herz.
A Florida lawsuit is challenging the Centers for Disease Control's pandemic rules for cruise ships. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Eric Stone explains.
The state of Florida sued the CDC in April, aiming to eliminate the agency's pandemic restrictions on cruise ship travel. Those rules are outlined in the CDC's evolving Framework for Conditional Sailing, often called the Conditional Sailing Order. Florida, along with the states of Texas and Alaska, are asking a federal judge in Tampa to throw out that CDC order. They argue the agency has overstepped its authority. But lawyers for the CDC say Congress implicitly approved the agency's cruise ship rules when it passed a law last month waiving a requirement for Alaska cruises to stop in Canada. As the law passed, several cruise lines announced plans to sail to Alaska starting in late July. That law, the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act, is written narrowly. It applies only to cruises from Washington to Alaska prior to next April, and critically, only applies to cruises approved by the CDC under the conditional sailing order. And so, the CDC argues, if there's no conditional sailing order, that would, quote, end cruising in Alaska for the season. The argument goes like this. Without the conditional sailing order, the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act can't apply. That would leave the 19th Century Passenger Vessel Services Act in place. It requires Alaska-bound cruises to stop in Canada, but Canada's ports are closed this summer. Attorneys for Alaska say the state firmly disagrees with the CDC's assertion, but their brief doesn't say why. In its own filing, Florida disputes that Congress approved the CDC rules when it passed the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act. The case continues in U.S. District Court in Florida June 10th. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
And Tom Fink, a former speaker of the Alaska House of Representatives, who later became mayor of Anchorage, has died. He was 92. His son disclosed the death on Saturday. Fink served in the Alaska House of Representatives from 1967 to 1975 and became the speaker in 1973. For more on this and other news stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.